Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thank you for listening to Susie Larson Live. Faith Radio podcasts are only possible because of your support. So thanks for giving, and thanks for sharing with a friend. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, rest is something we cannot put off indefinitely. You can't store up all your needs for rest for your summer vacation. If we wait too long to find rest in God, our soul will start to wither, and these implications will ripple into every aspect of our lives. All along the way, God puts exit ramps on our journey, opportunities to step aside, to take a deep breath, to find the refreshment you need in God alone. Well, my precious friend, she's an award-winning novelist, and she also has won an award for her Bible study. Boy, she's amazing. Tessa Afshar joins me today to talk about her newest devotional, The Rested Soul, 30 Meditations to Quiet Your Heart. And this book reads like a healing balm. And so if you feel like you just need to come away for a little bit, or you need some kind of structure to help you find rest in God, we've got a handful of copies to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. A couple quick announcements. I'm so excited about this. I actually asked if I could do this because I hear from so many of you on the text line and through emails. I asked, you know how we do these drip campaigns where you send out audio texts. I did the one on the goodness of God a while back. I asked if I could record some audio for the person who either has a prodigal, maybe you've got a prodigal in your life, or someone who never really was with God. They just never have come to God, and you just continue to contend for them. That kind of thing can take a toll on your soul, and there's a way to walk that out. So I recorded 15 audio clips that we can text right to your phone. They're 2 to 3 minutes long. All you got to do is text the word heart to 877-933-2484. You'll get 2 to 3 a week over the next several weeks. And I address things like forgiveness, letting go, taking care of your soul, upping your game in your prayer. So I just want to play an example of one of those audio clips. Let's listen in. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. If you're receiving this audio, it's because you signed up to receive some encouragement from me and from all of us at Faith Radio. Maybe you've got a loved one who's far from God, or maybe you've got a prodigal who once walked with God but has walked away. We want you to know we're with you, we're standing with you, we're praying for you. Well, today I want to talk with you about a prayer of release. A number of years ago, I had a guest on my show. He was a young man who'd had a season in his life, multiple years actually, where he was walking far from God and indulging in things that broke his father's heart, his heavenly father's heart, as well as his parents' heart. And his mom begged him, pleaded him to come home, pleaded him to come back to faith in Jesus. And she got depressed. She got anxious. And he said the more that she pleaded and begged, the more he dug his heels in deeper into this stuff that he was involved in. But then one day, the Lord spoke to his mom's heart and told her, you've put him on the throne of your life. You've postponed your joy. He's become more important than me. I want you to release your son to me and make me first and foremost. Put your joy on. Find your joy in me again. I'll take care of your son. So that's what she did. She let go of him. She released him to the Lord, and she sunk her roots down into the soil of God's love. She began to enjoy God and love his word. And this young man said, I didn't know what had happened between my mom and God, but I saw a very real shift. Instead of her begging and pleading me to come back home, she was so full of joy that the darkness I was living in became that much darker. Instead of locking my elbows and defending my choices, I was drawn by the light in her eyes and the joy in her heart. Maybe that's what you needed to hear today. If you're holding on too tight, maybe it's time to release your loved one to God. There's a prayer in this little booklet called For the Family by Sylvia Gunter, and it's a prayer of release that I want to share with you. And here it is. Because Jesus Christ is my Lord, I free you from my anxiety, fears, and control. I place you at God's throne of grace. I cannot impose my will on you. I know that I cannot live your life for you. You are a very special person. And as much as I love you, God loves you more. I've given you back to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your life today is totally in His hands, and I trust Him with it. I entrust you to the deposit of God in you for Him to work in you in His time and His way. I trust the Holy Spirit to draw you and show you the way that's right, the way of love, joy, and peace, and all that salvation includes. In Jesus' name, I give you my blessing. I loose you. I let you go in His love. Amen. I pray you found some encouragement here. Don't give up hope. Keep praying. Keep believing. Keep seeking God with all your heart. I hope that encouraged you. That's one of 15 short audio clips. If you need your heart encouraged, maybe you're weary in the waiting, weary in contending for your loved ones, just text the word heart to 877-933-2484. One other quick announcement before I introduce my guest. It's the National Day of Prayer. In whatever nation you're listening from, I pray that we could all together seek God for our nations. He loves the nations, that He would come, that His will would be done in Jesus' name. Let's keep praying, not only for our lost loved ones, but for lost nations. Our prayers matter. And when you take serious the call of God on your life, He takes serious the prayers that come out of your mouth. So let's keep praying. Let's keep believing. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Tessa Afshar is a Christie Award-winning author. She holds a Master of Divinity from Yale, where she served as the co-chair of the Evangelical Fellowship. She served in ministry for nearly 20 years before becoming a full-time writer and speaker. That's just a tiny bit. There's so much more that could be said. You can find more about her on her web, on the web at TessaAfshar.com. Dear Tessa, welcome back to the show.
I love hanging out with you. And Susie, that was such a beautiful audio clip. I'm so grateful I got to listen to that.
Oh, thank you. We're just trying to keep our finger on the pulse of the hearts of our precious listeners. And there's so many that have been contending for so long and just needed some encouragement. So we are so glad to do that. Well, you've been on enough to know that I ask the same question every day, and it's this: what's God been talking to you about these days?
Recently, and I'll put the context on this, I've been reading the story of some people who live in very hard places in the world where being a convert to Christianity puts your life in danger. It makes it not only dangerous, but just very difficult to cope. And I was reading the story of this young man, and at the end, he said, sort of like his life verse was Psalm 73:26, which I think is familiar to many people, where he said, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." It's a verse that I myself hold on to a lot. And so I wanted to dig deeper into the word portion. Well, what does that mean, that God is my portion forever? In fact, David in Psalm 16, even where he says the lines have fallen in pleasant places, in other words, he's writing that at a time when his life is stable and good and rich, and he's got tons of things that he can say, that's my portion. But what he says is, the Lord is my chosen portion. So I wanted to understand what that meant, and I've been looking into the word portion, and just a few things very quickly. So portion is a reference in the Old Testament to the land that God set aside for every tribe and every family. They got their portion. Portion can be a reference to the food and the provision for the day. Portion can mean your lot in life, like that sense of what's in your future, what has God set aside for your destiny, the outcome of your life, that's your portion. So if you put all of these concepts together, you come across this idea that when I say God is my portion, I'm saying He's my home, He's my promised place of rest, He's my provision, He's the sufficiency for my day, He's the sufficiency for my life. He's satisfying. You know, when you have portion control in your life, a lot of these diets tell you, but it's satisfying. So you know your portion is satisfying. And so I was telling my husband all of this, and and I asked him to pray it into our lives. And I loved what he prayed for us, because he essentially said, Father God, if you are our portion, then help us be confident in our portion. We should be confident in our lives of our portion, to be satisfied, to be contented with our portion. to trust our portion will be there and not worry about it, but also to be not anxious, to know that God has set aside himself for us, to be humble enough and patient with God's plan, and to know that when he is our portion, even when our heart may shake, even when our flesh may fail, that our portion is enough because he's our portion. He's our chosen portion. And I think that that's been really like the powerful part for me, is that he's my chosen portion. Like, what portion are you choosing today in your life? Because it's easy to choose some other portion and not God.
Mm. You know, there's a verse, and the Message paraphrase says something like this: we feed on the world's junk food, meanwhile our souls go hungry. And I think if you choose other portions, you might have a certain satiated appetite. You're kind of full, but you feel toxic, but you're completely malnourished. And so I think we're so constantly running after temporary relief, immediate portions that satisfy for the shortest time but don't nourish us and leave us worse off than before. So that's a really profound word and invitation. Wow, thank you for that. So good. Wow. Well, years ago, Tessa, you walked through an incredibly difficult time, and you've mostly kept it quiet up till now. But as much as you feel led, would you bring us back to that time? Tell us what happened.
Absolutely. So about 20 years ago, I went through a season of deep anxiety. It started as burnout, Susie. So if you had asked me when I went through the burnout, and then because of that, I had some physical issues, and then the combination made it very hard for me at work and obviously opened the door to anxiety. And before long, the specific anxiety, the anxious thoughts of, well, what if this doesn't go away? What if I can't go back to work? What if I'm never okay? Who's going to pay the mortgage? You know, those specific questions turned into this general state of anxiety where I didn't have any particular issue. I just felt anxious all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you had asked me at that time specifically, did you go through that burnout that opened the door to this whole thing? I would have told you it was a circumstantial thing, that it was my particular situation at work and the expectations that were sort of always before me. But as I walked this out with God, what I realized was that only to a very small degree that was true. The real truth was that I had a wound of rejection and abandonment from earlier in my childhood. And so I was trying to work so hard that I would abandon-proof my life. I would rejection-proof my life by the quality of my service, so that people would want me so much that they would never walk away. People would need me so much that they would never be disappointed by me or feel like they wanted to reject me. So my scale for success was bent towards satisfying a wound rather than satisfying God. Mm. And my scale for success was rarely satisfied, because when you have a wound at the root of your life, it's constantly asking for more. Wow. So even when I accomplished something, there was a whisper that said, well, what about next time? What about next time? So I never had a rested soul. I was always, my scale was always tipping toward the demands of the wound. And so I didn't know how to rest. And there, one of the things I learned was that your rest in God can be blocked. Your block may be a wound, like I had a wound. It may be an issue of anger. It may be an unresolved issues of jealousy. Whatever it is, you may have blocks in your soul that you need to work with God to heal, to remove, in order to experience rest, even before you ever get to the place of addressing anything. When I started my journey, I thought it had to do with my external job, and what I realized was that there were wounds that God wanted to address in my heart.
When you have a wound at the root, of your life, it'll always be asking for more. I want you to think about that. That's one of the reasons we go after inner healing so often on the show. I just care so much about it. The condition of your soul, the lies you picked up when life let you down, the unresolved parts of your story that are kind of going on repeat, and they leave you open to the accusations of the enemy and to sow in questions about God, accusing God of things he's not guilty of. That's why I care so much about this, because when you start to get healed from the inside out, healing flows in and through you. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how I just noticed, Tessa, when we don't pay attention to the warning lights on the dashboard of our lives and we press forward, to the extent that we press past our limits beyond what God is asking is the extent of the depths of burnout we will experience. And it just takes us longer to recover. We will recover, but it's just wise for us to pay attention to that and talk about the rest that God provides for our soul. If you need some healing balm, if you need some help just taking a few minutes a day to give your soul some rest, to find some rest in God, why don't you text the word book to get in on the drawing? The Rested Souls, the book, 30 Meditations to Quiet Your Heart. Tessa Afshar is my guest today, and we will be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Suzy Larson, host of Suzy Larson Live. I've got a question for you. Do you have a deep desire buried in your heart that you've tucked away and haven't thought about for a long time? I'm daring you to bring it up again. Bring it before the Lord. Put it on the forefront of your mind. Start to pray about it. Talk to a friend about it. Search scripture because of it. God delights in every detail of your life, and He truly wants to fulfill some of the deepest desires of your heart. Connecting Faith to Life, Faith Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into Suzy Larson Live, talking to my precious friend Tessa Afshar. If you like a good historical fiction, biblical fiction novel, check out her books. But she's also written an amazing Bible study, and now this is her newly released devotional, The Rested Soul, 30 Meditations to Quiet Your Heart. And in this, there's just daily short readings, some reflection, some prayer, really wonderful. But in the book, you talked about how first you kind of pressed past limits that God had set for you. And I thought it was so interesting how you described it. It's like that, how that kind of rippled into then kind of some of the breakdowns in your health and then rippled into anxiety. And I've really noticed, and there's no shame in that because we've all been there. I know this because I've been there as well. But it is so interesting that when we ignore some of the warning flares that God sets up, and we push past it out of obligation and duty that seems noble, but as you said, so often it's coming out of a wound. It seems that to the extent that we push past it is the depth, the extent that we have to dig out of a hole of burnout, that we feel it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that so clearly, but you know what I'm saying, right?
I think you're extremely clear, actually. And absolutely. I mean, that what happened to me was that I was pushing beyond the capacity which God had created me with. And this is the truth. God create you have to honor your creation, the way God has created you. You have to honor that. And I was going past that capacity. There's certainly seasons in life where God allows intense labor that goes beyond your capacity. But those are seasons, and He Himself breathes a kind of endurance for it. But when you make that a pattern of life, which is what I did, and it's a pattern that disregards the biblical the biblical pattern, which is work interrupted by constant rest, whether it's a spiritual rest and relational rest, you know, there are all sorts of rest that biblical patterns show. When you, as I did, when you begin to walk away from that pattern entirely on for long periods of time, for years even, and you go way beyond your capacity, you will get injured, your soul, your spirit. I got to a point where I could not pray for a month because I was so burned out. And I think every part of us will get affected by these things. Yeah. And the best news is, I mean, praise God, I just want to say this, The Lord doesn't leave us alone in this stuff. And he
That's
comes
right.
with us into these places, and he chases after us into the holes that we dig ourselves into. And I'm here to say, I always thought this was a journey that was fairly private. It was between God and me. I didn't tell many people about it at the time that I went through it. It took about 2.5 years for me. But I came out of it really a much richer person in my faith, in my relationship with God. And recently God said, that was not just for you. I think truly most of our lives, there are things that we go through where at the time we would rather not have it. We would rather God take it away right away. And the Lord knows that the process is something that's not just for us. It may be for your kids. It may be for your friends. It may be for somebody at church. You know, who knows? But he's giving this to you, not to torture you, but to heal the deeper thing in your heart, and also to come alongside others and gift them with encouragement.
So good. How did you start to heal, and what helped you heal? I'm thinking of the person listening today going, I don't see any way out. I don't see how I can be revived. What first steps were super helpful to you?
I think there were three general things that helped me. And I want to say, if right now you are hearing that voice that you feel like there's just no way through this, I mean, that is a classic voice of the enemy. It's one of the things, like when Nehemiah started to build that wall, one of the things that the enemy said to them, the wall was halfway done. And he said, oh, even a fox, if a fox were to walk on that wall, it will fall apart. Meaning these tiny things. And the enemy will come with those tiny foxes. And he will say, I will knock down any wall you have built in Christ around your life, any wall of security, of faith, of protection. I will knock that down. And I want you not to listen to that, just as Nehemiah did not. God is in the midst of doing a good work in your life. And so I want you not to give up. But the basic three things that helped me, one was knowing that I wasn't alone. There's nothing like pain, whether it's emotional, whether it's sort of mental health issues or physical, that makes you feel alone. Nobody can come into that thing with you. Even if you're accompanied on the outside, someone's handing you, you know, a plate of food and giving you a hug, but they cannot crawl inside you. And so you feel alone. And the first thing I want to tell you is you are not alone. Whatever it is you're going through, my friend, you are not alone. I remember one time I was sitting with my dad, and my dad had been through I was born in the Middle East, for those who don't know me. And so my dad had gone through a revolution, and in that process had lost everything. He had lost friends. He'd lost his savings. And he went through his own season of anxiety, long anxiety. And eventually my father came to Christ in a miraculous journey. But he had been through it, and he had come out on the other side. And I was sitting with him, and I was saying to him, you know, this is 20 years after his journey. Now I'm going through my journey. And I said, I'm so frustrated that I cannot reason with myself. I cannot just say to myself, look, pull yourself together. It's okay. There's nothing wrong. Look around you. Everything is okay. Everything's going to be okay. God will look after you. I just cannot reason with myself. And my dad looked at me, and he didn't give me advice. He didn't try to fix me. He didn't just sort of say, oh, come on, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You're going to be okay. He just looked at me with a world of sympathy, empathy in his eyes. And he said, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. And I think that was the most helpful moment in my journey, because I realized, no, that there really are people who know. And so, beloved, if you're listening to this right now and you are going through your own journey and you're feeling so alone in it, I just want you to know you're not alone. There are people in the Bible, like David, whose life was broken. He knows. Naomi, who felt like even God's hand had risen against her, she knows. And even Jesus himself, who he was sweating droplets of blood. His pain, his inner pain was so great. He knows you're not alone. And there are others who've walked this path before you, and they're on the other side to tell you, You can make it. So the first thing is just hold on to that hope. The second thing is what I call anchor points. My hubby and I like to do fun things. A lot of it is because of research for my books, but we just enjoy them. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn to do some archery because I had to write these scenes and I didn't know how to do it. So we went and learned archery.
I love it.
So yeah, it's really fun actually. And I'm only 5 feet tall. You've met me, so you know I'm kind of wimpy. And so when I'm sort of loosing these arrows, the trick is you have to hold your arm that's got the bow. You hold it very straight, and after a while the weight starts telling on your muscles. So my muscles were shaking, and that means you're not going to be very accurate. When your body is shaking, you're not very accurate. But what they taught me was that there are these anchor points on your body, and you have to practice enough to recognize what's the anchor point on my body. It can be your cheek or your jaw or your neck, or for everyone it's different. And it's a place where you rest your draw hand that's drawing the arrow. And even though some of the rest of you is shaking, there's this part of you, because it's resting on an anchor point, that's steady and stable, and it means your aim is straight. Wow. And I learned that you can do this. You can have anchor points in the Bible where you take things you've learned and have lodged in your brain, you take them so deep that as soon as you say that word or as soon as you say that phrase, it brings you into the depth that you have now accumulated with that word. And that word calms you enough and brings you enough stability that then you can maybe pray, or you can take a breath and say, oh, God is with me. So for me, one of those words was Father, just God being my Father. I had done a lot of study about what that meant, but that may not be for you. Like, someone may be listening right now who had a fraught relationship with their dad, and the word Father just makes them actually more stressed out than anything. So you need to find your own anchor point. One of my ones that I really love is from Micah 2:13. And it's actually a metaphor for the Messiah. So this is about Jesus. It's in the Old Testament, but it's a foreshadowing of Jesus. He who opens the breach goes up before them. They break through and pass the gate. Another translation says the breaker goes up before them. So in other words, there may be a block in your life right now. Like me, maybe the block for you is rejection. Maybe the block for you is anger. Maybe the block for you is some kind of external situation. And you have lost hope that block will be broken. But I want you to internalize this promise by studying it in different translations, by sitting with it and letting it go deeper and deeper. Because this is part of who Jesus is. And all God's promises, and this is one of God's promises, all God's promises in him are yes and amen. And this is one of those promises. He is going to breach, part of his job is to breach the thing that's blocking your life. He's going up before you right now. So stop blocking him by putting your weight on despair, putting your weight on and your eyes on the pressure. Put your weight on the God who raises the dead. That was the second one.
I just got to sit with that for a minute. It's so powerful. Anybody else resonating with that? I mean, think about that. You got this arm that's straight out holding the bow. You're kind of shaking. Your muscles feel weak. But then you anchor that draw hand on your cheek and you steady. And suddenly you can shoot straight. Suddenly you can see straight. What are your anchor promises? What are the things that God is saying? Remember this. Remember us. Remember who I am. And you might be in a season of shaking, but you're going to find a steady aim, a steady hand, a steady vision. Find some clarity and some peace right in the middle of it all. Tessa Afshar is my guest today, and she says, God sometimes heals outright. He utterly banishes the thing that torments us, but other times he allows a fragility to remain, a part of your soul where you always need to lean on him extra hard. That's been true for me. I'm thinking that may be true for you as well. Don't go away. More with Tessa Afshar in just a moment. Hope you're having a really beautiful day. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to my very precious friend, Tessa Afshar. I love her. And she's been a treasured author friend for many years. And her novels are some of my favorites, for sure. But she's prolific. I mean, she's written an award-winning Bible study. Now this new book, her new release, titled The Rested Soul, 30 Meditations to Quiet Your Heart. We got a handful of copies to give away. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Before the break, Tessa was talking about anchor points, about when you're shaking, and she was liking it too. And she learned archery, which she was doing to understand archery. And I remember reading that novel where that awesome female character could. Anyway, so she learned archery with her husband. And so she said she learned as her arm was out straight holding the bow, that takes certain muscles that her arm started to shake. And the instructor said, you got to find anchor points with the draw hand. And so she'd rest her draw hand on her cheek. And that would stabilize that one that's pulling the arrow back. And then she could see clearly, shoot straight. And was likening that to how we walk with God and finding the anchor points in Scripture. And this dear listener says, I'm undone. This is so beautiful. I lean on God's stable weight, and I trust Him to go before me as my breaker Messiah. Tina says, I am so thankful for Tessa's words. I need to lean harder instead of letting despair grab hold of me. It's a journey of transformation right now, no matter how long I'm thinking. Deanna says, Tessa's voice is like a warm blanket. I recognized it instantly. She says, does she even know how lovely she is? Wow, that's beautiful. I wonder if you know that, Tessa. Do you know how lovely you are?
Well, I'll tell you as soon as I wipe my tears.
Oh, so beautiful. Wow.
So beautiful,
I really appreciated in the book how you wrote that sometimes, for short seasons, God allows us to go through intense periods of labor, toiling past the edges of what our soul and body can bear. But these are the exceptions. They're not meant to be a way of life. Say more about that.
I think, you know, it's really sort of the discussion that we were having at the beginning of our conversation, and the concept that a lot of us have imbalanced lives, and we are so caught up in that imbalance, in the crucial, or what seems crucial. Like at the time, to me, I didn't understand. I knew that I was tired. I knew that I was pressing beyond what I was created for, beyond my capacity, but I couldn't really find a way out of it. I felt like that was the only way to live. And I think a lot of people are caught in that idea of, I have no other options. And I think, again, that's a lie. And God never creates us or places us in a place where with Him, we cannot find a saner rhythm of life that can bring us back to the way He created us to live.
You're right. The Bible's patterns of work are carefully interrupted by regular seasons of rest, by festivals of worship and spiritual renewal. God considers true rest so important to our being that He made it one of His central commandments. So how did you do life differently after that major battle with burnout, physical challenges, and anxiety?
Yeah, I think that's such a great question. And I will tell you that everything, it was a process, and it took a long time for me to figure all of this out. But the biggest and almost immediate thing that I did was I dug deeper into God. I dug deeper into prayer and into my relationship with God, because I knew the answer was with Him. There's one of the entries in the devotional is called Hold Fast. And this is another one of those times when my hubby and I went to learn something. We had to learn how to do glass making. And in glass making, you have this oven that's incredibly hot. It's a blazing furnace, and it's called the glory hole. Like, the guy told me that he spent something like $30,000 a month just on his gas bills and electricity bills and all of that to keep them. So you can imagine how hot this furnace had to be. But they call it the glory hole because that's where you put the glass, and that's where it melts. And that's when you can shape it. And one of the things I learned was your glass becomes this droopy thing at the end of this long metal rod. And it's always in danger of flopping to the floor and shattering. And I know that some of you right now are in the glory hole of life, that you are coming out and you feel so floppy. Your hands are droopy. Your knees are just, you can't sustain them. And you're on the floor. You can hardly hold yourself together. And what I learned was that that glass was under my control because of that rod. Its attachment to me was what saved it from drooping on the floor, because I knew how to whirl it. I knew how to twist it in order for it not to fall, not to shatter. But in spite of that, every once in a while, I had to return it to the glory hole, because the only way it could be shaped into what it was going to be is by being in there for seasons. So a couple of things I want to tell you if you are in the glory hole right now. And one is that when one of the key ways of emerging from this season victorious is for your soul to learn a consistency of attachment to God. Because that depth of attachment is going to open the floodgates of consolation and guidance. And that attachment doesn't happen overnight. That's one of the things I learned. That's one of the things that God changed in my life. I was a Christian. I loved Jesus. I loved Jesus deeply. My first interaction with Jesus was through a dream. I fell in love with Jesus. So I thought we were deep. But after this experience, my attachment to Jesus deepened in ways that I could not believe. In Deuteronomy, God tells his people, walk in his ways, holding tightly to him. That word holding tightly is a holding fast. It means attachment. It means cling. It's the word that's used in Ruth 1:14 when Ruth clings to Naomi. She held fast to Naomi. It's also used in the marriage relationship where a man leaves his father and mother and holds fast to his wife. So God says to his people, I want you to hold fast to me. In fact, I have this theory that the reason God chose Ruth to be in the lineage of his son was because this was her superpower. Three times in the book of Ruth where this word dabak is used for Ruth, because she knew how to hold fast well. And God wants us to learn this at a deeper level. You know, when you read the stories of people who are in persecuted countries, that's all they have. They learn this superpower. Those of us who are here and our lives are easier, sometimes God puts us in the glory hole, so we learn to hold fast. And that was the thing I had to learn little by little, to go to that depth where the floodgates of consolation and guidance float through that attachment. Beloved, I know that there's someone right now listening. You can't hold yourself together. You know that. Jesus knows that. But you only need to hold on to him, and he will hold you together.
Somebody got to text me an amen. You know, as you're talking, Tess, I'm thinking of when I was walking through the major relapse that happened 9 years ago, and for a good 5, 6, 7 years, it was rough going for me. And so I was seeing all kinds of doctors. And there was one believer where she said, you know, in persecuted countries, they have a lot to overcome, and they overcome, and there's a special reward. It's mentioned in scripture. I think it's in the book of Revelation, but for those who overcome. She says, and when you live in a free society, you know, a wealthy society like we do, she said, our opportunities to overcome are these deep trials of health, of rejection, of betrayal, all the things. She said, we are overcomers too, but we need something to overcome. You know, God wants to reward your faith, and he wants to make you an overcomer. And that helped me so much, because there's times where it's easy to think you're all alone, as you said, and you're the one that God is holding out on. Everybody else is skating through life. And I think that's just an unbelievable, consistent lie of the enemy. And any thoughts, any words on that? Because I, you know, we hate those trials. We feel like they define us. In fact, you even say when we walk through these times of like rejection or betrayal or delay, we tend to shrivel, we shrink back, and we think small. On the other side of the break, I want you to talk about your advice. It's to enlarge. But if you'd say a word, if you would, even just that God doesn't write pain into our stories, but he is bringing opportunities, taking what the enemy meant for evil, turning it for good, giving us opportunities to overcome.
Yeah, that would be great.
I mean, you could just talk for a minute or two about that, and we'll talk about the expanding on the other side of the break.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've opened a couple of doors for me here, Susie, and I will talk about it real quick here in the sense of that endurance. And in fact, in Revelation, it says, here's a call for the endurance and faith of the saints. So the Lord's intention for us is to learn endurance. And I think that sometimes your eyes are so much on the pain that you don't realize that there's something beautiful that's happening in your life right now. Sometimes when you compare yourself to others who don't have pain and they're bigger and they're growing better and they, you know, they're developing, it looks healthier lives and more fruitful lives, and you think of yourself as less than. And that whole time, you are the glory of God's garden. You are the one that God looks at because you are learning an endurance at a level that they don't understand. They can't even begin to understand.
Wow, so good. Okay, when we come back, I want to talk with you if you're in that place where you feel like you're shriveling, that you're decreasing. You're not increasing, you're decreasing because you feel battered by the storms of life. And then your instinctive reaction is to pull in, to shrivel, to get small. And it's in this very place where Tessa suggests, no, this is where you expand. This is where you lengthen out, stretch out the tent stakes, and we'll explain what we mean there. So many people texting in going, this is for me today. This is for me today. You're talking to me. Here I thought this was my battle. Now God's showing me this was the lie that I believed. This was the place I was striving out of. Just the fact that that many texts are coming in like that, friend, you're not alone. And the enemy tries to isolate you, single you out, make you feel like you're the have-not. God's holding out on you. He never withholds any good thing from those of us who belong to him, who walk uprightly before him. So if you're in that season, it's because there's a treasure in that darkness that God intends for you to glean from that place. So you come through it, leaning on the arm of your beloved, deepening your attachment to your Savior, richer and wiser in the promises of Scripture and the enemy's schemes. God wastes nothing in your life. And about every detail of your life, he delights in. He delights in every detail. We'll be back in a minute. This is Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. Maybe you have a loved one that you've been praying for years, and they still haven't trusted Jesus. Or maybe you have a loved one who once had a vibrant faith, but has since walked away. If this is true for you, know this, you're not alone. God sees you, he loves you, and he knows about the heartache you feel. And we care about it too. I've recorded 15 audio clips to encourage your soul. Text the word heart to 877-933-2484. Thanks so much for tuning into Susie Larson Live, having a really beautiful conversation with my friend Tessa. Every time she comes on, to me, it's a rich theological, soul-restoring conversation. And today's just no different. She's got a brand new devotional titled The Rested Soul, 30 Meditations to Quiet Your Heart. Got a handful of copies to give away. It's just balm. You know, she writes like she speaks. You can text the word book if you want to get in the drawing, 877-933-2484. One of our listeners texted in a testimony, and I'm waiting to hear back. I texted her and said, can I read this on the air? And I don't want to read it without her permission. But she just felt like this, you were telling her story. This was for her. And so many others have chimed in different ways about that. But this one is really something. So I'm waiting. If I hear back from her during the live show, I'll read that story. But you were talking, you know, when we're in these seasons of, you know, heartache, anxiety, depression, sickness, pain, whatever it is, rejection, betrayal, you know, that instinct is to shrivel. It's to reduce. It's to shrink. When in fact you say, we need to enlarge our territory. We need to expand the tent pegs. Explain what you mean here.
Well, Susie, I know in my own battle with anxiety as it extended through the months and I sort of there were moments when I would begin to wonder if I even had any future, if there was anything left for me, if sort of I was too ruined by that point. Now, this is before I'd written a single book. This was before I was married to my husband. So there was a lot of large part of my destiny that God had not fulfilled yet. And if I'd listened to those voices, my life would have been very diminished. Because that was the voice that I was listening to. Just make your life as small as possible. Go and hide in a corner because that's as good as you're going to get. There's an Isaiah verse, Isaiah 54:2, where the people are now at this point captive in Babylon. So they're at the most diminished, most hurt part of their lives. And during that time of diminishment is when God speaks this word into them. He says, "Enlarge the place of your tent." I still get chills when I hear it because someone out there, listen to me, this is for you. Enlarge the place of your tent and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. All of this means make a larger space because I have more for you. I have an increase for you. And right now, maybe you're in that place of incredible diminishment. And maybe the voice in your head is saying, "This is it. I just have to get in a smaller corner, higher walls, and hide here, and there's nothing more for me." But I don't want you to measure your future by this present experience. That's what Isaiah's promise means. Get ready to grow, get ready to be enlarged, get ready to bear fruit. And the inference of the whole passage is actually, it's not that Israel is going to go back to be as big, as great as they were before, but that they were going to be more than they were before. And I want you to apply this to yourself. And first, because these verses are for those of us who've been grafted into Israel through Christ, but also because there's another promise in Isaiah 9:7 about Jesus. And it says, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." So if he governs your life, his peace and government in your life will be increasing. There is a guaranteed increase in your life, my friends. So, what I want you to know is that, like captive Israel, you're invited right now, enlarge your expectations of life. Instead of dipping low and jumping into that pool of diminishment, of believing that word from the enemy that says your life is going to be so small, it's hardly worth it. I want you to get ready to increase because in this dark place, a part of you is being enlarged by Jesus. He's strengthening you to carry the weight of the increase that God has for you. And I don't know what that increase looks like. You know, maybe you're 99 and a half years old and the Lord is increasing your ability to see him face to face. For all of us, it's different. But I do know that this season in my life, where there's a lot more responsibility on the table for me every day, I would not have been able to meet and carry the weight of it back then before I went through that hard season. I had to go through that hard season to receive certain healings and to enter into a deeper attachment to my father. And now, because of that, even though I'm not 100%, like I'm not one of those people who's entirely healed and I never feel anxiety anymore, I still have that vulnerability to certain things in life. But I am not where I was, and the anxiety no longer owns me. It sits on an incredible layer, a foundation of Jesus. So it's more like a mosquito than like a strain of cancer, you know. So I want you to know that that season is what gave me the strength for this increased season. So there, in this diminished season, whatever you're walking through, beloved, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to know that you can trust God is laying a foundation in that valley for a greater glory in your life. And that might be more strength in him. It might be more faith. When you emerge, you may have more understanding, you may have more healing, you may have more patience, whatever it is, but God has an increase for you and it's worth it.
Tessa, this has been phenomenal. I wish you could see the texts coming in. They would encourage your heart so much. But we're going to have Tessa back again another month and dig in even more to this beautiful devotional. You've been a healing balm for many, and I'm included in that many, Tessa. Thank you for the way you steward the call in your life. We love you.
Thank you. I love you guys. Take care.
Thanks for tuning in today. Really believing and praying you found some encouragement here. Don't shrink back here. Count on growth and increase. We'll meet you back here next time.
Thank you for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These conversations are available because of your support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. Please subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes, and then share it with friends so together we can all have a deeper life in Christ.